All of my dump divers, all of my fans of elite WNBA trash get ball, which by my last calculation, I believe fans of the WNBA are now being counted by the hundreds instead of being counted by the usual dozens. The following message, it is for anyone who enjoys watching elite trash engineering and something that almost resembles the level of basketball that you would see at your local YMCA, or as they call it in woke cities, your local LGBT. Your humble host, KC, I have been tasked with delivering you some news. Now, what would you like first? Do you want to hear the good news first, or do you want to hear the bad news first? Well, KC, I didn't know good news existed in the WNBA dump. Yeah, this is a first, and you guys know how much deacons at Woke United Methodist love a first. So, let's honor this momentous occasion by starting with the good news. But before we get to that, make sure to like and subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. Good news is, Caitlin Clark was able to maintain some of her momentum last Saturday, and she delivered decent ratings on ABC. Now, if the NBA drew this same number, it would qualify the NBA for the upcoming Huge Embarrassing Failure Awards. But for the WNBA, for the dump, the 1.7 million viewers delivered by Katie Rue last Saturday, it was a resounding success. Woohoo! Yes, yes, yes. Don't get too excited. From Tuesday to Saturday, 400,000 people, 400,000, they decided that not even Caitlin Clark can make the WNBA interesting. Last Tuesday, she drew 2.1 million for her WNBA debut on ESPN2. Now, if her game Saturday was broadcast on ESPN or NBA TV, that number would be significantly less. Her game last night on ESPN drew 1.5 million viewers. Are you starting to notice a little bit of a trend here? What was most impressive about last Saturday was the Las Vegas Anonymous Faces maintaining Katie Rue's lead-in. A week ago, the Anonymous Faces, they lost almost 80% of Katie Rue's lead-in audience. Saturday afternoon, the Unknown Faces from Las Vegas, they drew 1.3 million viewers for their exciting contest against the LA Sparkles on ABC. Well, that's strange. How can the Anonymous Faces lose 80% of the audience on Tuesday, but maintain most of the lead-in on Saturday? I wonder if their opponent last Tuesday night had anything to do with it, which leads us to the bad news. Last Tuesday night, the Anonymous Faces, led by the face of Roto-Rooter, Kelsey the Plumber, they played against the Phoenix Masculines. Now, the Masculines, they have players on their roster that the WNBA has historically promoted and marketed. Non-charismatic players like Donna Taurasi, distant relatives of Cheech and Chong like Bob Griner, players looking to graduate from the back of the garbage truck and aspiring to be future political activists like Natasha Cloud. Historically, these are the players the WNBA has promoted. They all have something in common. They're not relatable. They're not likable, which makes them unmarketable. Now, for normal people, this is a simple concept to grasp. Not for Jemele Hill, though. No! As you guys know, KC has a lot of love for Smelly Jemele. I keep a picture of her beautiful face right here on my desk. She is always sitting right beside me. And thanks to the Soapster, one of my sponsors, I have been able to mask the horrific odor emanating from Smelly Jemele with freshly scented Vanilla Serenity. Smells pretty good. That way, I can appreciate the beauty of Jemele Hill without the need of a mask. Once Caitlin Clark was fitted for her hard hat and steel-toed boots, the WNBA, they went into overdrive promoting their new star. well, promoting their only star. Before she placed her first bag in the back of the garbage truck, Caitlin Clark was already the face of the WNBA. Now, this was a very easy decision for WNBA Commissioner Kat Engelbert. Doesn't take multiple brain cells to figure out that Caitlin Clark should be the face of the league. Caitlin Clark should be heavily promoted. Hell, until proven otherwise, until someone else steps up and proves they are marketable, Caitlin Clark should probably be the only WNBA player promoted. According to Jamel Hill, there's another reason the WNBA is promoting Caitlin Clark over the other 99% of unknown dump divers. Earlier this morning, the LA Times, they published an article where they attempted to explain the meteoric rise of Caitlin Clark. According to the LA Times, the rise of Caitlin Clark, it forces us to ask questions about race and equity. What? Race and equity? I'm confused. I have been following Caitlin Clark since last March. I've had hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in the last 12 to 18 months ask me questions about Caitlin Clark. You know how many people have asked me if race was responsible for her popularity? You know how many people have reached out to me concerned about equity? Zero. None. There is no such thing as equity in sports. But since our feeble minds can't see the forest through all the parishioners worshiping the woke oak trees, the LA Times, they decided to provide us with some assistance. The LA Times, they want us to understand the seriousness of this important issue. They decided to speak with the expert on equity and mythical racism, Jamel Hill. According to Smelly Jamelli, we would be naive if we didn't say race and sexuality played a part in Caitlin Clark's popularity. This is a big problem because of what it says about the marketability of players who have been in the WNBA for years. First of all, the question of marketability with current and former WNBA players, that question, very easy to answer. They're not marketable. If they were, this league would have succeeded. This league would have found a way to generate a single peso in profit 30 years ago. And look. That is not a dig at current players in the WNBA. 95, maybe even 99% of players in the NBA, they're not marketable either. Same thing in the NFL, the NHL. Hell, before Shohei Ohtani, Major League Baseball, they haven't had a marketable player in at least a decade. But let's get to this false notion from Smelly Jamelli that Caitlin Clark's race and sexual preference is one of the reasons for her popularity. Let's look at this purely from a business perspective. Take the emotion out of it. Look at this from a business and marketing perspective. The racial component, complete bullshit. The WNBA, they have marketed plenty of black players in the past. They have marketed and promoted plenty of white players in the past, and none of it has worked. The league promoted Bob Griner. Failure. They promoted Breonna Stewart, lead chef in the WNBA cafeteria, famous amongst dump divers for her spicy brie stew. Failure. Donna Taurasi. Failure. Natasha Cloud. Failure. The Sue Bird. The Sue Bird, who was made famous by her pink-haired wife, Meg Rapinoe. Failure. The racial component is completely irrelevant. However, maybe Jamel Hill has a point when it comes to sexuality. For decades, the WNBA, they have proudly promoted themselves as the LGBT league, which is fine. That is perfectly fine. If that's the path you want to take, go for it. Problem is, it hasn't been working. Why? Well, let's just look at this from a demographic perspective. Over 90% of the population, I think it's 92, maybe 93%, claims to be heterosexual. 330 million people in America, almost 300 million of them are straight, meaning about 30 million people in this country identify as LGBT, which also means for the last 30 years, the WNBA, they have essentially marketed their product to 30 million people. How many of those 30 million do you think are fans of basketball? if the NBA averages, what, $1.5 million during the regular season and they're promoting their league to just about everyone, that means, what, 0.5% of the total population are fans of the NBA? Let's be generous here. Let's assume that 5% of the LGBT community are fans of basketball. How many are fans of substandard basketball? How many are fans of unentertaining basketball? Do you see where I'm going here? Maybe, just maybe, the WNBA has been a huge embarrassing failure because they have spent decades marketing their product to a small segment of the overall population. Do I think Caitlin Clark's bedroom proclivities have anything to do with her popularity? Do I think lonely men are sitting around thinking, ooh, Katie Rue likes boys. Maybe I have a chance. Maybe she will like me. Absolutely not. However, it does make her more relatable to a larger segment of the overall population. At the end of the day, we attach ourselves to people we relate to. You know why Anthony Edwards is becoming the face of the NBA? Humility, charisma, work ethic, likability. You know why LeBron James has declined in popularity later in his career? Victim mentality, mythical racism. Most people can't relate to a victim mentality. Most people don't have the luxury of having a victim mentality because they are too busy busting their ass trying to afford groceries in this bustling Biden economy. Jemele Hill also claimed that we can celebrate Caitlin Clark while not erasing minority players in the WNBA. It's okay to celebrate Katie Rue, but we can't erase black women. I mean, they built this dump and they continue to build it. What exactly has been built in the WNBA? It's not like Caitlin Clark walked into a shiny new castle. She walked into a high school gym. She walked into coach seats on Delta Airlines, bathroom seats on the Greyhound bus. She walked into accommodations at the one-star motel where rooms are rented by the hour and in some cases rented by the minute. No one is erasing legacies in the WNBA, but here's the thing. If no one was watching, is it really a legacy? How can you have a legacy to forget or erase if people weren't there to witness it? Like I told you guys a few weeks ago, the mainstream media, they are trying to turn the WNBA into a tool for racial division. For years, the media has been begging. They have been begging for the WNBA to be given a chance. And now when people are finally watching, Jemele Hill's upset because the only star, the only draw in the league is someone the media would describe as being a white Christian nationalist. And it's not just the media. It's not just Jemele Hill. This narrative, it was started by jealous WNBA players. I'm telling you, if they're not careful, they are going to self-destruct. People are not going to support narratives of racial division. Most people are simply tired of it. If they keep pushing this narrative, it's going to turn people away from the WNBA. And make no mistake about it, the WNBA cannot afford it. Caitlin Clark is still drawing good ratings for now, but how long will that last? With each game, hundreds of thousands of people, they are losing interest. The Indiana Felines, they are 0-4. Caitlin Clark, she's a dynamic player, but the interest is going to continue dwindling if she keeps losing. But give me your thoughts on this. Smelly Jemele returns with a vengeance. She tries to revive the business of mythical racism by claiming that the only reason Caitlin Clark is popular is because of her race and interest in men. Do you agree? Does Jemele Hill have a point? You let me know. Sound off in the comments below. Like, subscribe, share the video. Appreciate your support. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com, kc_btl84 on Twitter, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.